You're listening to the Lost Trail Runner Podcast, episode 117. Today I'm running on Greenway Trail doing my long run for the week, so let's get started. Hey everybody, Ron here. Welcome to the Lost Trail Runner Podcast. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Lost Trail Runner Podcast is produced every 2 weeks. At least that's my goal for your enjoyment. And the show notes are found at losttrailrunner.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Lost Trail Runner as well as on Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get on with the show. How you doing today? I'm out here on the Greenway Trail. And I thought I might record a little bit. I haven't recorded in quite a while, so I'll do it today. You'll probably hear that right there, Galloway timer, going off quite frequently because I'm running a 15 second on and a 30 second off today. Today's Sunday, and this is considered my long run. It's only 4 miles. It'll be the longest run I've had since November. So I guess it's my long run, even though it's short. I guess that's where I need to start, is November, isn't it? Well, on my last run's update, I believe I went through the whole scenario running the Chateau-Alain trail race and pulling my hamstring enough where I ended up walking like the last mile and a half of the race. Still won my age group, considering I was the only one in it, but got it done. And I think that was like the 18th of November, and I tried to run off and on. After that, I went to get my yearly physical the 21st of December, and my doctor gave me a script to go to a physical therapist. So when I went to physical therapy, they told me I couldn't run for 6 weeks. So I decided I'd just walk, and I probably was more consistent during my injury than I have been when I've been running, because January, I think I missed one day of walking. February, I missed four. And we're in March now, so, and I'm back to running. So I just started back running the last couple weeks. My first long run was 3.5 miles, which is last Sunday. Now I'm up to 4 miles. And Chris Twiggs, my coach, has redone my training schedule. So I'll really build up fairly easily, because my goal race is going to be at Disney in November at the Wine and Dine. So I've got plenty of time. This is March. And I told him I would probably do the Cooper River Bridge run in Charleston on April 7th. So he arranged my schedule to run that race. Just as a training through race, you know. And of course, then I've got Peachtree after that. So my first test of my hamstring will actually be at Cooper River Bridge, because I know I'll run faster than the training pace, even though it won't be any blistering speed, you know. We'll see how I do for that. So I've already got my registration in for Cooper River Bridge. I've already got my registration in for the Peachtree. And the Wine and Dine registration opens up March 13th, I think. So we'll see how that goes. I think I'm only going to do the 10K at the Wine and Dine instead of the half. And Laura's planning on going with me down there. So, and she's trying to convince her brothers that they need to go too. And I might have planted a seed in Chris today. He came over to visit. He'd gone over to Laura's house in Hartwell for the weekend, and on the way back he stopped by my house, and I was watching some YouTube videos, and one of the ones we watched was the Penhody 100 trail race. Well, he only lives about 45 minutes from the start of that race, and he's been on that trail numerous times hiking, and as we were watching it, he was pointing out places, you know, that he knew. And he got kind of wound up. He said, I think I could do that. So we'll see if his first race in 30 years ends up being a 100-miler. I think the last race he ran was a 5K when he was in ninth grade. So it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But if he decides to do it, at least he won't lack a crew, because probably the whole family would go over there to do it. You know, it'd be interesting. Of course, that's in November also, and we'll see how serious he gets, whether he really thinks about doing it or not, you know. So we'll see. This is Sunday that I'm doing my long run, and I had made all sorts of fantastic plans Friday about how I was going to get up early. It was going to be sunny and semi-warm. I might go out and run on Saturday. Well, I piddled around all day long and didn't even walk on Saturday. Nothing. So today, this 4-miler, I was going to go out about 2 o'clock and run it. And Chris called me from Hartwell. Said he was planning on stopping by on the way back home. I don't know if I was going to be home. And I said, well, more than likely, when are you going to be there? And he said, oh, around 2:30. And I go, well, all I got to do today is run 4 miles. He says, well, it doesn't get dark until after 6 o'clock. So you ought to be able to get it in. So it worked out fairly well. I guess it's about close to 65 degrees. The sun's out, no wind's blowing. I'm on the greenway, it's not underwater, and I'm just chugging along, doing my long run, which is slow 4. So what else can we talk about? I've been thinking about changing the name of this podcast from Ron's Update to Run Bike Ron podcast, and throwing in some of my bicycling stuff too, because I really like bicycling. Haven't done a lot of it in the past year, but I'm planning on getting back into it, so I thought maybe my podcast could be varied that way. It would still be basically an update podcast, but running and biking. And I like to watch pro cycling, so I might talk about some of that too. The EF Education First team, I helped bail them out when they were having troubles. They almost went down the drain, and they did a GoFundMe, and I contributed more than I should have probably, but I think it helped them get the new sponsor who basically bought the team, which is good for them. The Argyles continue to race bikes. And they've got a group in the Paris-Nice race this week. So I'm going to be following that. I was watching a little bit of it this afternoon early, and they had Pierre Roland or whatever. He was in the breakaway. There were three in the breakaway, and he was one of them. A lot of car traffic over here on Rockbridge Road. You can probably hear it in the background. This trail goes right next to the road. And there's quite a few cars. I'll go out here about another couple hundred yards, and then it'll turn to the left and go away from the road. So it won't be quite as noisy. My theory today is just to leave the recorder on the whole time I'm running. And then when I get home, just edit out all the dead air and stuff like that. So I see how it works. It might be more work than it's worth. I don't know. We'll see. I got about 4/10 of a mile left before I turn around. Okay, left turn away from the traffic. Heading to Lions Club Park ball fields. This is actually a very good place to run. Well, the first field I come to, there's no games on. So maybe they're through for the weekend. I mean, it is probably close to 5:30 now. If they had any games, they'd probably have been earlier. But this Greenway Trail plus the Lions Club Park is fairly flat course. So it's a good place to do form and speed workouts. I went by somebody over here in the parking lot. He's got a drone he's getting ready to put up. Made me think of mine. I got two drones. I got a DJI Spark, and then I've got another when it was inexpensive, my Lerner drone, which I've put in the woods and various other places trying to get proficient at flying, and I haven't taken my Spark out yet. I figured I'd destroy the cheap one before I start messing with the expensive one, you know. It's fun, but I took it out to Stone Mountain one day and in the big parking lot out there, and it took off, and I don't know if I lost control of it or it was just pushing the wrong control. It just flew right into the pine trees. Hit them and hit the ground. I went and retrieved it. Didn't tear it up or anything. But you just gotta pay attention. Plus, I was using my iPhone as a controller. No, I wasn't either. I was using the remote that came with it. Yeah. And I think I should have put it on headless mode, which means whichever way you push the lever is the way it's going to go. You know. So if you pull the lever towards you, it'll fly towards you. Push it away, it goes away. Right and left. But I just flew it right into the trees, just like I had common sense. So I've been waiting for good weather again to take them out and start over. And I think we're starting to get into it now. This is March 4th. It's close to 65 degrees. No wind at all, which is good when you're flying a drone, and sunny. So if we get some more weekends like this, I'm going to be popping those drones out and messing with them. And the Spark, you can set it where it'll just follow you. So I was thinking I could go on a run and have it follow along behind me and film. That would be kind of cool. But anyway, what kind of drone you got?
Cormac.
Which one?
Cormac.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've got a couple that I got a cheap one so I could tear it up. And then I got a DJI Spark I haven't flown because I didn't want to tear it up.
Oh, the DJI? Yeah.
Yeah.
Glasses.
And
that's a pretty nice one, eh?
Yeah. I took the little one out Stone Mountain and ran it right into the pine trees.
Oh, no.
it didn't tear up, but I mean, you know, I just had no control. I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, but you just have to learn with this is a small one.
Yeah. Is that one easy to control?
Yeah, it's really easy.
Has it got a camera on it where you're taking it?
Yeah.
Oh, you even got it right there. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. That's what I wanted. Neat. Well, that's
pretty high, too. Wow.
That Spark, yeah. It's got a mode where it'll follow you. So uh-huh. I thought once I finally figure out how to work the thing,
right.
I could run and let it chase me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
But I got to get it where I can't wreck it first.
I was like, welcome. Now you return.
Oh.
Simplest.
It's an automatic return. Yeah, the Spark does that.
Oh, okay.
But my cheap one don't. It just, you know.
Yeah, with the cheap one, you know, you can just work
if
you know how to.
Yeah. Is it coming down now?
Yeah.
Well, it knows where it's going anyway.
Yeah, right.
See, that looks easy. Yeah. See, that looks so easy, but if I did it, it'd just go, bah! And bounce off the ground.
Yeah, it's not easy. I tried. I can't do it.
Does this one, like, if the battery get low, come back automatically
yeah.
or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just give you, like, how many miles you can do, and then as soon the battery start to go,
uh-huh.
it just starts come back.
How many minutes will it run?
Like 15 to 20.
Yeah, that's what my Spark will do. And I think my cheap one will do that too. I got three batteries with both of them just uh-huh. so I could swap them out.
Yeah, you can swap them out, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just pretty much good.
Yeah.
The other things. Yeah, it's better to start with the cheaper one because you can break it, but
yeah.
you know, it's but the one that's expensive.
Yeah, I didn't want to tear it up.
But then the new one is good. The new one is like 45 miles per hour.
Oh, the...
Make one with 45 miles an hour.
Is that DJI Mavic
yeah.
Air, they
yeah.
call it? Yeah.
yeah.
That's the one. I think it's a glorified Spark that they didn't want to use the Spark name on it because it's got more stuff, more like the Mavic. So,
yeah. Full sensor can just escape the branch.
Yeah. See ya. Well, that was interesting talking to that guy about his drone. The GPS drone. It knew exactly where it was going because he put it in return mode and it flew right back and landed right in front of him, which is pretty good. It is really a nice afternoon for running. Perfect temperature, no wind whatsoever. Sun's out. Mid to low 60s. Just absolutely great. And on top of that, I'm actually feeling decent for a change. Well, I'm back near Rockbridge Road now, so we'll see how the noise is from the road. I think I'll just not talk and then cut this section out. Be back in a while. Going under the bridge now, the rock bridge. Then I'll be going away from the road and it'll get better. Here comes somebody down the trail with an elliptigo. I haven't seen any of those around for ever. At least not here. I think a video of Dean Karnassus using an elliptico, and that's about all I've ever seen one is in a video. They just aren't common around here. Of course, this greenway is a very good place to ride one. I don't know how they do going uphill, but there's a lot of flat trail here. The only hills are over in Lions Club Park. That's where the hill is at the end of the loop. So that's like a out and back run of the loop on the end if you go all the way around the loop. I usually just run out so far and turn around, like went out 2 miles, turn around, come back 2 miles. Not doing too bad. Running 15, walking 30. I'm averaging right now 14:39 pace. For a long run, that's pretty much where I ought to be. And as I get in better shape, of course, my speed should pick up, right? And also I can change the intervals on the timer once I start getting in better shape. And we'll go from there. I'm running today in my Hoka Hupana 2s. I've got a pair, my original pair of Hupanas are, I've got probably close to 350 miles on them. What's strange about my original Hupana is the wear pattern on the bottom of the sole is really strange, just kind of grooved out in the forefoot where I hit and in the heel. It's just a weird pattern. I quit running in them. I use them to walk, but they're really good shoes, and they're cushioned, but they're not heavy. And they're not thick, like you think of a Hoka. They're a good all-around shoe. Perfect shoe to run in a race. because they're lightweight, and I think they're a fast shoe compared to, say, my Bondi 4s, which are pretty thick, you know. They give good cushioning, but these shoes are really comfortable. So I think my races this year that are road races, I'll be wearing these. My trail races, I'll either be wearing Ultra Lone Peaks or my Ultra Olympuses. I really like those Olympuses. Talk about a shoe with a lot of cushion. They got a lot of cushion, but for some reason, when I run the trail with them, it just kind of flows, you know. I don't have to think about where my feet are going, and I don't really trip on anything. You'd think a thicker sole shoe, you would be thinking about having to lift your feet up higher or something. But I've never had that problem with those shoes. They've just been good. I think they're the original version, just the Olympus, or maybe the second, but they're not the newest version, but they're still really good shoes. And the Lone Peaks, I've got a pair of 3.0 Lone Peaks and a pair of 3.5 Lone Peaks, and I love both of those pairs. So, but they're strictly trail. And I guess those Lone Peaks, a lot of people use them for hiking too. Oh, 4/10 left. Closing in on it. It's such a nice day today. This would have been a perfect day to get that drone out and fly it. But I guess there's always another day, right? Oh, I've got a Fenix 3, a Garmin Fenix 3. And I use a heart rate strap. And I bought it refurbished for a couple $100. But today I sprung for a Fenix 5 with the heart rate built into the back of the watch. I'll probably still use a heart rate strap when I'm running, but during the day, just having the heart rate on my watch will be kind of cool. And I'll be interested to see the difference in features between the two watches. The one thing I was disappointed with about this Fenix 3 is the backtrack feature. It doesn't work as good. My Garmin 305's backtrack feature was great. You could go out in the woods on a trail run, not worry about your turns, you know, where you were going, because once you got out as far as you want to go, you backtrack. And it gives you turn by turn on the way back. Well, this Fenix 3, when I hit backtrack, it doesn't give you turn by turn on the way back. It just gives you the direction you're headed. And if you're out in the woods on a trail that you're unfamiliar with, I mean, it would be good if you were going to cut cross country with it, but I just wasn't impressed. Now, maybe this being a refurbished watch, maybe that feature was just defective or something, but it didn't work the way I wanted it to, because it didn't give me turn by turns on my back, coming back. And that's really handy if you go, like, I want to go out to Little Mulberry Park, and there's trails out there. I have no idea where they go, And if I have a backtrack feature, I can just run. And then when I decide to come back, just hit backtrack and do turn by turn on the way back. But this 3 just doesn't do that good. Hopefully the 5 will backtrack good. Okay. Finished my run. 4 miles. See what the Garmin says. I know it was slow, but that's okay for a long run, even if it is a short long run. Here it comes. Recovery time, 16 hours, 4 miles, 58.25.7, 14.37 pace. Not bad, considering I was only running 15 seconds and walking 30. It's still spinning around saying loading. I wanted to look at the stats, see what they were. Details, let's see what it says here. Distance 4.0, time 58.25.7, pace 14.37, training effect 2.6, cadence 139 steps a minute, vertical oscillation 6.4 centimeters, vertical ratio 8.3 degrees, ground clearance time 309 milliseconds, balance. I hit on my left foot 49.6 and on my right foot 50.4. How much time, you know, how much time I was on the ground. And stride length is 0.8 meters. Went up 124 feet, went down 111. And that's the stats for my run. So, I'm gonna turn this podcast off, and I guess that the next time I see you is when I see you. Oh, I went out to McDaniel Farm one of the last few days I had been grounded. And I walked for 45 minutes and I videoed it. And I don't know if it's worth watching. It's on YouTube, on Lost Trail Runner on YouTube. So take a look. I got a bunch of videos there. Probably all of them are boring, but you know, I like doing them. I figure the more I do, the better they'll get. Maybe, I don't know. But if I don't do them, you know, I won't get better, that's for sure. So just go look at them, see what you think. Give them a thumbs up, thumbs down. No, don't give them a thumbs down. That'll make me feel bad. Okay, well, I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.